Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the Wildcat Scoop podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Shear, here with...
Jason Shear.
And you can tell by the crackling energy and the excitement that obviously this is the victory podcast. For the first round of the Pac-12 tournament, Arizona defeated, my brain just exploded because I just watched this game.
USC!
Revenge game, the revenge tour final, 2024.
Final score of 70-49. Shelby, I just had a beer or two with Kyle Dott, former ASU point guard.
I saw that, on Mike's Twitter feed. There was a whole video.
Yeah, nice guy. We delayed the podcast a little bit just so we could see who Arizona was playing and then went out for a little bit. And it was a nice night. Nice man.
Good. Here. You don't drink a ton either. What did you drink?
I had 3 beers and a Jack and Coke.
Wow.
And you know that whole thing, beer before liquor?
Yeah.
Not here.
It doesn't work in Vegas. That whole thing doesn't work.
I'll let you know in a little bit.
I don't think 2 beers and 1 Jack and Coke is going to do too much, but we'll see.
So shout out to my girl, Erica, who bought me beer. The Orange Papago. Very good. One of my favorite beers.
I think that's Haas Brewing.
The blueberry. No, it's Papago, honey.
Isn't it Haas? So anyway, go ahead.
Oh, it's Papago Brewing.
Okay.
It's Papago. But the blueberry beer, not good.
That's not your favorite. I think I told her you like the orange blossom.
Papago. I don't think the Papago is. I don't know. Is it hospital? I don't know. But anyway, whatever the blue with the van on it, I didn't like that. But the orange, the Papago, very good. The orange. Anyway.
Highly recommend. Considering that you really don't drink a lot and you don't really drink a lot of beer, that's the only beer I've ever heard you say that you like. So that's why I told her that one. So if you get a chance, try that one. Enjoy.
Usually it's hard drugs for me. Hard drugs.
It is Vegas and the night is young for you. And I'm stuck in sleepy Tucson with the puppy and children and, you know, planning this big event on Saturday. Okay. But I did have a White Claw when I watched the rewatch of the game on the Pac-12. So I did partake this evening as well. We are going to talk about the game a little bit, but before we do, we're going to have a read from our sponsor. Okay, the puppy tried to chew through my iPad here. Snow in Tucson, it sounds unpredictable, right? But we know the unexpected happens. It's important to be prepared and to have a plan. Like, where will your retirement money come from? Have you optimized your 401k? If you have questions about your current retirement plan or want to prepare for tomorrow, contact us at Longview Insurance and Investments. Visit our website at www.longviewinsuranceandinvestments.com to learn más. There we go. Shout out to Andre.
Shout out.
We did it.
Shout out.
Let me see here. Sorry for the delay. We're recording a little differently than we usually do. Review a game that doesn't matter a ton this time of year, but it matters to us. What stood out to you on Thursday?
Yeah, and the only reason I say, look, I'm not saying this game didn't matter, but it's just like, cool, you won. Now your attention turns to the game tomorrow, right? And it's the same thing in the NCAA tournament. You win your first round game, we could talk about it, or we could talk about the next opponent you find out about 2 hours later. You know, I thought, Shelby, this game, I thought Arizona would win, comfortably. I know I said 6 points, but, I thought there was potential there, obviously, for Arizona to crush them, mainly based on the fact of how they lost the season-ending game to USC. And that's what we got. I mean, this was just Arizona imposing its will on USC. USC could only do so much in this game. To me, this was, and we'll get to this in a second, this was a really, really good defensive game overall. To me, it was just a very complete game. I know that Arizona, only scored 70 points, but a lot of that was pace and just the way that USC wanted to play, and that absolutely atrocious start to the game in the first half.
It was pretty rough.
It was rough. I mean, it was a horrible game for like the first 10 minutes, but when things started to settle down, it was very clearly Arizona's night.
Was that Arizona's best defensive game of the season, and when and why?
I don't think it was the best win, because that's a typo, Shelby.
I just read what you write, baby. That's
Look,
what,
I had
that's
a couple,
what
I had a couple beers. It was Arizona's best defensive game of the season, and if so, why?
Oh, well, you just have winning on your mind. Win. All I do is win.
I would go as far as to say that might be the best defensive performance of the Tommy Lloyd era. Like,
it was pretty incredible.
You know, and a lot of times I say this, and it's not like me bragging, believe me. It's like when you watch the NCAA tournament in person, I always say the intensity is nothing like you see during the regular season, because everyone takes it up a notch. That's how Arizona played against USC. Like, the defensive movement, the ability to guard guys up close without fouling, the communication, it was elite. Like, that was an elite defensive performance. USC didn't score 16 points in the first half because it was missing open looks. Like, don't get me wrong, there were some open looks that were being missed, but a lot of it is there was just nothing there. I mean, Boogie Ellis hits the two threes or whatever. He's 2 for 2, I think, to start the game. And you're like, oh crap. But even those threes weren't wide open, and he didn't make another shot the rest of the game. Isaiah Collier had 13 points, but it took him 13 shots to do it, and he had 6 turnovers. Like, Kobe Johnson came on late. Morgan Rodman, who's killed Arizona, did nothing. This game was 2 of 9 from the field. No one on the bench got anything going. USC got 3 bench points in the entire game. The intensity, like, you could tell Caleb Love was locked in defensively early on. And, you know, USC is an athletic team. Keeping them in front of you isn't as easy as it probably sounds. Arizona's defensive rating and KenPom jumped up a couple spots, and rightfully so, because, it was one of those games. And again, like I say, like, USC is not a terrible team. They're about average offensively, but, they normally shoot 50% from the field, from two. They shoot 35% from three. They were nowhere near that. Arizona held USC to 41% from two, 27% from three, 18 turnovers to 9 assists. It was a very, very impressive. And I will go as far to say that if Arizona defends like that, there are very, very few teams in the country that are going to beat the Wildcats.
They're going to be a contender. You don't have this in your question list, but are there any individual shout outs for this game?
Of course there are. Umar, obviously, 10 points, 13 rebounds. I think he really set the pace early on. To me, obviously, the two players of the game beyond Umar, you know, when KJ Lewis and Jaden Bradley play like that, again, it's similar to the defense. Arizona's just really, really difficult to beat, because you can get away. Look, Kylan Boswell did not play well. 1 of 8 shooting, had a couple turnovers, 3 assists. Did not play well, but you can get away with that when you have a performance like Jaden. You know, Pelle Larsson struggled early on. He caught on a little bit in the second half, but struggled early on. And then you have KJ Lewis, who comes in and is the best player on a court with multiple NBA players. 15 points, 6 rebounds, you know, didn't go foul crazy like he sometimes does. And, you know, going back to the last game with USC, everyone played poorly, including the bench. And these guys came in, Lewis and Bradley, and just dominated this game. They were the main reason why Arizona was able to come. When you have two bench players that outplay the opposing team starting guards, you're probably going to win that ball game.
Yep. And that is the key to success in tournament season. So that was awesome to see for this game.
Also, there's there's one play I want to shout out. And usually I don't do plays, we do players, but I thought the play of the game beyond the Bradley steal and dunk, the play that set the tone, in my opinion, was the Keyshawn Johnson play where he dove like three times and Arizona didn't get possession because of the possession arrow. But that was something that is like, you better be able to dive. Like, I'm diving on the floor. I've been in college and I'm still diving on the floor. You better dive with me. And I think stuff like that is contagious. And I said this last year after the Princeton game where like there were plays where like Princeton was on the floor, right? And no one was on the floor. No one. For Arizona, Keyshawn Johnson going on the floor like twice, running basically baseline to baseline just to get a steal. To me, that was, you can make the argument. I know all the offense, the shooting is great, all that. To me, that might have been the play of the game. Like that gets you fired up as a fan if you're watching that.
And you definitely heard it on TV. The broadcast was what I just watched was what everyone watched earlier was awesome. And I know that the commentators said they couldn't walk anywhere without seeing Arizona block A everywhere. So that was awesome. Just in general, that's Mikhail North.
You know, the fans were great today. I assume it'll only get better tomorrow, but make no mistake about it. This is an Arizona crowd. Like it just is. I've been to I've been to multiple other games to see their teams. It's not even close. Maybe fans roll in from, I don't know. It's not going to be close. Washington State, Colorado, Oregon has a couple guys, but Arizona, I would say, you know, Ben Bolt from the other times was joking, but not joking. He thought it was like 95-5, and it probably was.
It's accurate, and it's awesome. Okay, moving on to Oregon. How did they get here on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, Oregon, or that UCLA game was interesting to see. My seat is right by the UCLA bench, and Mike and Ben came and sat with me, and we literally just watched Mick Cronin for like the entire, like he's so damn entertaining. from a fan perspective, I actually would have liked to see UCLA win just so Arizona could have been the one to end UCLA season. You know, Oregon got there because they're tough and they rebound. And the key with Oregon when you face them is you can't turn the ball over. You know, you take a look, Dylan Andrews killed him, 24 points, 8 of 13. Mack got to the line at will. Didn't really shoot great, but got to the line. But then you look at Oregon, and when they're at their best, it's a little bit here and a little bit there, and that's what they got. You know, Shellstad played pretty decent, 12 points. Kuzinar didn't shoot well, but he had 10 points. Dante, 22. Tracy is a guy who can't really score, but had 10. Aquendo had 10. That's when Oregon is able to get in transition and all that, and they're not a great...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
On May 23rd,
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not going to survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
Knock on wood, they're not a great three-point shooting team, but they're very good when they get going in transition. And from two, they shot 55%. They actually didn't defend UCLA well. It's just that UCLA is not a great offensive team, and Oregon tried to choke the game away there at the end. And, you know, Oregon, they lost the glass. You know, they didn't shoot very well, you know, but they still found a way to win. And that's what teams like, you know, Oregon, that's this time of year. That's what you need to do. You know, you if you don't shoot well, you better be physical and rebound and find a way to win. And I don't even know if Oregon really played that much better than UCLA, but they were able to come out with the dub.
No, according to Mick Cronin, it is the refs, Jason. It is all their fault.
Yeah, look, I will say this, and I'm not defending Mick in any way. I want to say this for the whole tournament. The ref crews are dog shit. I mean, Arizona's ref crew today could have been arguably been the worst ref crew that they've had all season. Utah-Colorado game, like on paper, is solid by Pac-12 standards, but like the UCLA-Oregon crew was not good. Like these guys, there's guys that have refed in a couple of these Pac-12 games that haven't like refed at this high of a level. Like it's weird. It's really weird. Like, that this is the best that this conference can do. So, look, the refs didn't lose UCLA the game. Adebona gets called that way because Adebona is the dirtiest player in the league. But I kind of like the fact that Mick Cronin said, you know what, this league's done. I'm going out here with a bang. This is what I think about the refs. And he did that at halftime, too. He didn't even wait to the end of the game.
I saw the video you sent me where he was just losing his mind, and it was awesome. So, we won't miss that component, Pac-12 refs. I used to have a sock puppet account called Pac-12 Refs Suck.
What?
That's kind of a deep cut because some people actually might remember. Some people might remember that account. I just outed myself, but it doesn't matter anymore because the Pac-12 is almost over. But I used to just flame the refs. And then I realized one day, like, why am I doing this? This is exhausting. It doesn't matter. They're going to suck forever. But what do you remember about the other two meetings between Arizona and Oregon?
Arizona's just better. You know, I don't know the result tomorrow. Things happen in college basketball. The best team doesn't always win. But you came out of those two games saying to yourself, Arizona is just better than Oregon. You know, we'll go back to the first meeting. I know that was a while ago. January 27th, but that was the weekend where Arizona lost to Oregon State. You say, this is the end of the world. We're all dead. And then they go to Oregon. They win by 9. Kylan plays fantastic. Caleb Love drops 36. And Arizona, just shoots the shit out of the ball, gets to the free throw line, all that. I mean, that was one of Arizona's better games of the season. Fast forward to the game at McHale. You know, that was a weird game in that Arizona, again, like, shot 64% from two, got up at halftime. They were up 51-30 at half. So the game was basically over. Shot 14-25 from three. Cuisinart was dropped 40 points, couldn't be stopped in the second half. But Arizona also didn't really try defensively in the second half because they had already been up 20. You know, the thing that I think with Oregon that's interesting, and Dana Altman actually said this, and it's brave by Dana Altman, but he said it after the game. He said, everyone says you want to slow down Arizona, and he gets it. But he said, the problem is when you slow down Arizona and you make it a half-court game, Arizona's half-court defense is significantly better than people think. And he's like, and proof of that was against USC. Like, everyone said, oh, USC is going to slow it down, but then they couldn't score at all. So he's like, you got to play your game. Like, if we're known for getting out in transition and running the court, that's what we're going to do. We just have to do it better than Arizona, because if we slow down and that's not our normal half court game, you know, we're going to look like they're better defensively than people think. So credit to Dana for saying that. But yeah, I mean, the first two meetings, it was real simple. Oregon couldn't guard Arizona in either meeting, and their coverage is tricky. They do a lot of drop coverage, and it gives Arizona a lot of open jumpers as they try to take away the inside. And if Arizona's hitting with the way that Oregon defends Arizona, Oregon just didn't have a chance in those first two meetings because Arizona was hitting open jumpers.
Yeah. That's called domination, and we're going to hopefully do it again. Is there a matchup that you're excited to watch?
I there's a couple, obviously anytime Dante and Paolo go against each other, that's must-see television for me. Like, those are the two best centers by far in the Pac-12. Dante is really, really good. He's a clean player. He's not like Bona. He's likable, right? Like, it's a really good matchup. And then I'm curious, how Pella or whoever it may be does on Jermaine Cuisinart. I mean, he dropped 39. He didn't look good at all. He's got kind of a shoulder issue today. Maybe that, we'll see how that impacts things against Arizona on Friday. But, he's capable of going off, and Dante is capable of going off. I like Shellstad. But if you hold Cuisinart to 12 to 15 points, Oregon probably doesn't have much of a chance in this one.
So I'm also excited. Cuisinart, in our previous podcast, we joked about it, about the bread maker. So I'm bringing that back fondly. We still want a bread maker. So we're still going to do that at some point. You just reminded me with the joke from our previous podcast. Cuisinart, if we want to say it in the French.
That was good.
Keys to victory, Jason. What are they?
I actually give Cronin credit again.
No, that is two podcasts in a row where you've either quoted Cronin.
Well, because he's right. Friendly. Because they do it after they lose, and it's funny. So, like, he basically, it was funny because he said at halftime, if we don't turn the ball over, we'll be fine. And they didn't turn the ball over, and they won.
Honestly, hold on. He's like become a caricature, and it's actually a funny caricature.
But that's really like, even though their tempo isn't high, like they like to they force quite a bit of turnovers. Like they do a very nice job of forcing turnovers and getting on transition. Oregon is an average team, right? They're not excellent at anything, but they're really not bad at anything. Like, there's nothing, like, I guess you could say they're not a great free throw shooting team. Their defense in terms of percentages isn't great. I guess they don't really guard the three. They try to guard the rim a little bit more, but they're not awful. Right. It's just that, if Arizona plays like they did against USC, they're going to blow out Oregon too. Oregon's just not balanced enough. Like, there's two guys that it relies on, but then they have kind of negatives on offense. Like, again, knock on wood, but Jadon Tracy isn't a big offensive guy. Kwame Evans isn't a big offensive guy. Like, that shouldn't be that difficult of a matchup for Arizona. If Arizona takes care of the ball and brings intensity, I think they'll be fine. I really do.
Okay. Well, finally, the ending question every time. What is your prediction, Jason?
Yeah, I just it kind of piggybacking off what I just said. I just think Arizona is just better than Oregon. I don't subscribe to the it's tougher to beat a team three times in a season, because if you're better than a team, you're better than a team. Like, Oregon didn't all of a sudden become better. If Arizona doesn't win this game, it's because of Arizona. I don't think it's because of Oregon. And I could see this game being closed for a bit, but I haven't seen any proof. Unless Altman completely changes his defensive scheme, it is a bad defensive scheme against Arizona. It will not work. And if Arizona is hitting jumpers, it has a very good possibility of getting ugly. I think Arizona pulls away in the second half. I think Oregon comes to play. I credit Oregon. I thought they came to play against UCLA, but I just think Arizona is too much. And I'm going Arizona. I'm going a little low scoring. Arizona 80, Oregon 68.
Okay. I feel like you were kind of low scoring this past one too.
I changed. I just think it's harder to score like this many points this time of year. Like, Arizona just scored 70
cautious. Points. It's not going to be a blowout.
It's different. Like, I'm watching a Mountain West game, and every game I watch, it's it's a different time of year. Like, you're not dropping 103 points, right? Like, Arizona scored 103 points in the last meeting against Oregon. I would be shocked. I mean, if Arizona scores 100 points, good Lord, right? Like, because you look at the scores in the top 25, sorry, I'm kind of ranting, Shelby, and there are some teams that scored like 87 or 90, but they were just playing garbage opponents, right? It just,
right.
And most of the scores were in the 70s or even in the 60s. And there were a lot of blowouts today. There were some upsets, but I think this is the time of year in these conference tournaments, the major ones at least, where you see a little bit of separation. And I think that's kind of just where we're headed.
Speaking of surprises, Duke lost today, aka Thursday, which made this day even better. So I got to do my final Dave Chappelle, you hate to see it, but you love to see it, for UCLA. And then I got to do my Duke sucks for Duke, because all Arizona fans hate Duke. Screw those guys. Anyway, my prediction is 75-66. This is where I'm going to go.
That's low.
I think, yep.
You're putting me for being low scoring, and you went even lower.
I went under. Well, I just was watching the end of Colorado, Utah, and that game ended at 72-58. And so I was kind of thinking Arizona will go a little higher than that. But, you know, we'll see. Also, obviously, if Arizona gets up quite a bit, Tommy's going to put the starters on the bench and rest them for the championship game. So, you know, you're not going to get up in much over 80 at that point with your, you know.
Shout out to bench. My guy, speaking of bench, Paulius Morauskas comes in, and all he does.
Paulius.
All he does is get buckets, man. Every time he plays, he just gets buckets.
It was awesome. Those are the little hopefully the things that other teams, especially in the tournament, that have never even seen Arizona until they start looking at the tape, that they can't predict for. Like those kind of moments that click for players that we've kind of not given a lot of shots. We need that.
I don't know if you saw it on TV. You might want to rewind it. When Conrad, Philly, B, and Morauskas went in the game, I actually threw my shirt onto the court.
I saw your tweets. You were in love with Conrad.
Oh, my God. I was ready to
cheer. So jealous. I need to go up to Vegas right now.
Oh, my. You have no idea, Shelby. I'm doing this in my room. My room is right outside. It basically, the New York roller coaster runs through my room.
You should also tell the people, in case they think your life is so glamorous and like, oh, my God, it's Jason Scheer. His smoke detector was beeping last night, and no one would come to fix it. So you had to like disengage it yourself. And then today, when you came back to your hotel from being at the game, it was beeping again.
I yelled.
So this is Jason's life. Like, it's like one of those, of course, this is happening to me moments. So also,
I get to sleep in a little bit tomorrow, though. That's nice.
Oh, yeah. I have a puppy and two kids, and, you know, enjoy that moment, please, because I don't know what that feels like. I do know that you're having a great time being recognized and everybody's saying hi to you in Vegas.
Yeah, it's actually fun. I've been Michael Liu complimented me and said I've done a fantastic job this weekend because he makes me out to be a hermit. But It actually has been really cool, the amount of people that have come up. And look, guys, I don't really drink. I know a lot of people are DMing me. Can I get you drunk? Like, you know, you can meet
Here's
me.
The thing.
Come up to me, Here's say hi thing. To me. There is a 0% chance I'm like going and doing coke with you in a bathroom.
The thing that Jason will do is he loves the venti shaken iced espresso from Starbucks. That is his number one go-to drink. If we're not drinking at a fine coffee establishment, because our favorite coffee place in Tucson is Presta over at the Mercado, and we're usually there every weekend. Like, that's like the best coffee. Like, that actually was
our girl Erica. I hope she doesn't mind me calling her out. She got back to her room, Shelby, at 6 a.m.
Oh my God.
Right? Like, she's never been to Vegas, by the way. So she got back
that's
to her
awesome.
Room at 6 a.m. Like,
I love her.
I mean, I'm 40. I'm an old man now.
I love that you're like, Erica, I'm 40. I can't do that anymore.
I'm 40. Like, what do you want from me here?
I woke up this morning, no joke. My alarm goes off. I'm trying to get the puppy. I'm trying to get Briella, but trying to get everyone going. And I get a text at 6:58. And she and Kobe, and I don't know who the third person is. It might be her friend Matthew. And they all were doing a toast to me saying, you know, they wished I was there. And it was 6:58 in the morning, guys. Like,
I woke up and I rolled over and I went back to bed and I still woke up at 9 a.m.
Yeah, but to be fair, you never get to do that. So that's awesome that you get to do that every once in a while.
I didn't have coffee until 5 o'clock today, Shelby.
Holy cow, that's crazy.
Lines were big. I was starting to melt down. And then finally, I got my coffee. We're okay.
I went to Starbucks this morning. I think you'll think this is funny. I know we're kind of diverging, but like whatever. And I got my usual, which is my grande iced vanilla latte with 2 pumps of vanilla and oat milk. And I just told the girl, I said, can you please make sure that it's just 2 pumps of vanilla? Because last night when we came, it was just the full amount. And it was too sweet. And she said, oh yeah, sure, no worries. So I get to the line and I put $10 on my app to pay, and I get to the line and she hands me the drink and I give her my phone and she's like, oh no, it's free today. We messed up last night.
Yeah. They I was know, like, so the one on Ina Authority, they'll know me by name and Shelby, but mostly yeah. me.
Like to they like, know, but they know our orders. Order. They know our orders. And it's sometimes too, when we go there and we'll order without the other person, they'll ask us where the other one is. So if I go there, they'll ask me where you are, and there's been times where you've gone and they've asked me where
it always reminds me of when you went away that one time, or I went away. What was it? Who went away where the neighbor like knocked on the door and was basically like, did you murder your spouse?
Oh, it's because my car was in the shop for that summer. Yeah, when so I got the new like, engine.
It's like, no, it's okay. Like, what are you talking about?
That just means people care. They know. The point of the story was that, you know, it always feels good. We do have a Starbucks. Shout out to the Starbucks on Ina and Thornydale. We're regulars and they know our order by heart. And that's always kind of cool. So I'm so excited for you and Mike and Ben and Erica. You look like you're having a great time.
But Shelby.
Mm-hmm. Even though you're in Vegas. Tucson, yep.
What do you do, baby?
No matter where you are in our great Wildcat Nation, and no matter what you do, and how many drinks you imbibe, you can always bear down.
Shelby, I hope you don't mind, but I actually put our entire savings on black.
Okay, what is the number? Because you know I'm very particular.
Just black. I will tell you when I get home if it's one or not.
Okay, great. I love this game.
So whatever you need, I'm here for you. You're here for me. Okay. 4 days in Vegas is way too much.
It is.
But not when you're winning championship, Shelby.
That's true.
Bear down, baby.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.